You're listening to the Blissful Bites Podcast, episode 150.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
And welcome to another foodie episode today here on the Blissful Bites podcast. I am so excited about my guest today. My guest today is Katie Proctor, who is a registered dietitian and really, really does a great job as a registered dietitian and a brand strategist to really think outside the box with her work and for her clients. My goal is to just share motivation and inspiration and to show you there are other ways to make revenue and profit and think outside the box when you are making money, especially online and in person. So Katie is going to give you a lot of great ideas, and she gives some great insight as a registered dietitian and as an entrepreneur. I'm really excited about this episode, so let's get right into it. Be sure to find Katie on social media and come into the Facebook group, the Blissful Bites community, and tell her that you really enjoyed this episode. First, let's have a word with our sponsor, ConvertKit. I'm really excited to be able to bring you a free month to ConvertKit. I started using ConvertKit back in January, and it's been really, really effective for my own email marketing. If you have a blog or you have your own business, you know email marketing is so, so important. And this platform, ConvertKit, was actually designed specifically with bloggers and small business owners in mind. ConvertKit was actually made by professional bloggers, and it has a very simple, minimal design and really powerful features that will help you grow your revenue. If you want to check out ConvertKit and you want to grow your own platform and business through email marketing, you have to check it out. When you check it out with my link, you will get a free month. So go to NicoleCulverBlog.com/ConvertKit and get your free month now. Katie is a registered dietitian, brand marketing strategist, and highly sought after mentor to those looking to turn their passion for wellness into a career they love. She has always been passionate about helping aspiring RDs and is one of the co-founders of All Access Internships, an outstanding resource and coaching destinations for students looking to get matched to dietetic internships. Her previous work experience includes branding, marketing, and communications roles at global PR agencies, Fortune 500 companies, and natural food startups. And in addition to all that and marketing strategy businesses, she's also the brand manager for Healthy Glow Collective, a community and resource that encourages women to improve their relationship with their bodies and find joy in food and fitness again. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Nicole. Thanks so much for having me.
That was quite the introduction. You do a lot of things.
Yes. It has definitely evolved over time, though, you know, just kind of like one thing led to another.
So tell us a little bit about what you and what you do.
Yeah, definitely. So it's interesting. I kind of start from back in August, which is when things really shifted for me. As a registered dietitian, I was working for a food company. I went back to school to get my MBA, kind of had this idea in my mind that I wanted to follow this very traditional career path, you know, continue to grow in brand management and marketing in the corporate world. I really loved it. And it was an industry where I felt like I thrived a lot. But the industry also has, you know, a lot of challenges, and I had been kind of, ever since I graduated with my MBA the year prior, had been dabbling in health coaching, you know, on the side, just kind of helping people who came to me for they needed support in their fitness, health, wellness journey, you know, since I'm a dietitian. So I had kind of been doing entrepreneurship on the side for about a year and a half. And this past August, you know, I really decided that I was ready. My mindset really changed and I really desired, you know, a lot more flexibility in my schedule. I was commuting 2 hours a day to work and it just kind of started to feel really heavy and it wasn't the same inspiration, you know, that I had found from it in the beginning. So, you know, just one thing is to put out there is that it's totally okay to change your mind, you know, as to what you think you want to do. You may have this 5-year plan and your 5-year plan, you know, doesn't really work out. And at the time, you know, I had a lot of experience working with brands and influencers on the brand side, the agency side. And so I thought I could, you know, maybe start a side business where I was helping other influencers and bloggers. Didn't really know what that looked like, but happened to reach out to Monique with Ambitious Kitchen. We used to work together at General Mills and just kind of said, hey, like, I want to talk to you about what you think some of the needs are. And it really came at the right time because her and Lee of Fit Foodie Finds, who I know you interviewed earlier this year, were planning to launch a new joint venture. They didn't quite know what it looked like at the time and brought me on board to be part of it. So that's really when I left my full-time job to take on that role and also, you know, doing some one-on-one business coaching with some other people as well.
I have so much to say. I could ask you a million questions, but what I really love about you is that you are a blogger, but that is not your whole existence. You have really grown into your registered dietitian role and used your expertise not only as an RD, but as a brand strategist and kind of merged them and married them together to this really, really unique role.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. I meet a lot of people who have kind of gone the traditional corporate route and then decide as a career changer, they want to become an RD. And I feel like I sort of did the opposite. You know, I went to school to be a dietitian. I never really went the traditional route with that. I went straight into business and was like, this is where I belong, you know?
And how did you actually figure that out? Because I know we have a lot of RDs who are listening. I have a lot of RDs in my Facebook community and who have joined the summit and who kind of think, or maybe they've pigeonholed themselves into thinking a registered dietitian works one-on-one with clients or in a hospital setting. How did you actually make it your own and make it something that you actually love doing every single day?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And a lot of it goes back to, you know, when you're in school, and I know you have a lot of college students as well, you know, have started blogs. Like when you're in school, you're sort of pushed to choose a major and without very little exposure to what you can do and what's possible, you know? And so I sort of just stumbled into nutrition. I thought, oh, this sounds cool. I like food. I eat, you know, I think I could do this. Without necessarily really having that same passion for working one-on-one with people in that way. And so I think just really understanding yourself and your strengths and where you shine by trying different things. You know, I had, gosh, 3 different corporate jobs before I left, and each one taught me a lot about what I did like and what I didn't like, you know, in a career. I know there was, for example, one time when I was only doing social media. And that's at the point I decided to go back to get my MBA because I thought this is too narrow for me. You know, I want to do so much more than this. And so it's really like testing and learning and being patient with yourself and with your career and knowing that it's going to evolve over time and you have to give yourself some of those maybe less desirable experiences to understand where you fit.
Yes, I so agree. And the other thing I want to touch on from what you said before is that you really put it out there and almost like asked for help and opinions when you had emailed Monique. And that's something that I've done with my one-on-one clients. And it can be really scary at first when you send that first email, when you're like, okay, I know I have to put myself out there and figure it out based on what other people need. But how did you actually decide to take the leap and email Monique? And what advice do you have for people who are really scared to put themselves out there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually something that I learned to do probably when I was in college, because that was when I really first started listening to personal development. And one of my favorite books, it still is and was back then, is The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And I remember there was this one chapter, and I think it was when it was Reject Rejection. And it was all about making the ask, you know, and it said that if you ask, you know, for what you need or for what you want and you don't get it, you're no worse off than you were before, right? Because you already didn't have it. But if you ask and you do get, you know, what you want or the answers that you're looking for, then you're better for it. And so being willing to put yourself out there and make connections is such a huge part of growing in your career and in your business. And I know that I wouldn't be where I am today without it. I mean, I know like my job with General Mills came about because I reached out to somebody on LinkedIn and said, hey, I want to do what you do. Can we do a Skype chat? You know, and then a job didn't come down the road for 6, 7, 8 months after that, you know? And so I guess maybe the theme here is action and patience, and knowing that sometimes you'll put yourself out there and people won't respond to you. They'll ignore it, and that's okay too. But the few connections that you are able to make over time are what will really propel you forward.
Yes, that connection piece is so, so incredibly important. And I talk about it all the time, probably on every single episode, how important those connections are. But I really love how you said you have to make the ask. And if people say no or they don't respond, you're not any worse off. That's really, really important. So tell us a little bit about All Access Internships. How did that come about? How did you start that? And how are you helping RDs with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because it ties really nicely with what I just said. So I had actually written an article in the student newsletter for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics all about making the ask, you know, sharing how my willingness to make the ask have led me to get some pretty cool internships and experiences and things like that while I was an undergrad. And another student, her name's Jenny Westerkamp, she reached out to me after she read that article, and we just kind of realized we were soulmates or blog besties, big biz besties, like, you know, those terms that you kind of hear thrown around. And we started talking, and she was getting ready to apply for her dietetic internship, which is a required step to become a dietitian. And I had about 2 years before I was going to apply to mine. But of course, planning ahead, I was already thinking, you know, about the process and doing all the research. And it was a process. There was no, you know, single place where you could research all of the information that you were looking for to attend one of these accredited internships, because there's only, you know, so many to choose from. And at the same time, we knew that the match rate was so, so low, and it continues to be around 50%. So that's half of, you know, students who want to become registered dietitians apply and don't get matched, not always because they're unqualified, but because it's a numbers game, you know? So we decided that we wanted to start this business together, and it started out more as like a directory, and we pulled in student testimonials about the programs to really help people decide where they wanted to go. And over time, it's evolved into helping students position themselves in the best light that they possibly can. And it's turned into more of, one, a membership site for resources, and two, and one-on-one support for students with help with their resumes and their personal statements and other application materials they need to submit.
That's really, really amazing, and I can imagine how valuable it is. So I will put the links to this in the show notes, but can you just tell them where they can find your information for this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is allaccessinternships.com, and if you click on the memberships tab, it will give you all of the information of all the different ways that you can get support.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm really excited about that. And now talk to me a little bit about Healthy Glow Collective. I know you had said you got this job because you had made the ask, which I think is going to be the title for this podcast episode. So tell me about what you're doing with Monique and Lee as the brand manager.
Yeah. So, you know, Monique and Lee obviously have established these amazing communities and blog presences for over, you know, 5 years. And so they are more than busy keeping up with their own blog and so their own blogs and businesses. So really my role was coming in and helping us align as a team on a single vision and establishing what we wanted the Healthy Glow Collective to stand for. Not only that, but also, you know, who we wanted to serve and what we wanted to offer them. So as part of that, we went through a ton of branding exercises. We surveyed their community multiple times, and we really feel strongly that we came out on the other side with a really great, you know, brand identity that's different than what's out there. And a lot of that kind of comes down to you know, my background in brand management and business and marketing, and saying like, we need to be thinking about this a little bit differently and starting from square one and making sure that we have that established from the beginning and making this, you know, not just another blog for you guys to manage, but really a community.
Yeah, I love that. And I have to say, not on the same note as Healthy Glow Collective, but I feel like you are such an inspiration for starting your own business, because in this online world, and I'm sure you see the same thing, where we see so many bloggers who want to make a business out of their blog, and they think that the only way they can do this is through ads on their website and sponsored posts, and they're waiting for this magic pill of 1 million page views a month or hundreds of thousands of page views a month or a certain number of followers on Instagram. But if you look at other people who are hustling, who are making their businesses work, who don't have huge followings on social media, I don't have a huge following on social media, and I don't think you really have a huge following on social media, but we're making our businesses work, and we're just going beyond that typical thinking of sponsored posts and figuring out what needs are for our clients and filling those needs.
Yes, exactly. I really don't have a huge following on social media. And I think a lot of it comes down to, and I know that it's something that you pride yourself on as well, as really like connecting with your audience on a deeper level, you know, not always worrying about having the perfect shot, the perfect photo, and just getting your message out there, you know, in an authentic and genuine way, and knowing that the people that resonate with it are going to, you know, are going to gravitate towards you and what you have to say and what you have to offer. And I think it's really, it's not that the two business models can't, you know, fuse together, but it's kind of like, one, are your readers also customers, or is your customer more a B2B business to business type model where you're truly working more with ad networks and brands and things like that? You can do both, but I think it's a huge shift. And that was actually one thing that we talked a lot about, because I think, you know, when you have spent years building up an audience based on free content, it is scary to go that next level and ask them for, you know, a purchase.
Yes, 100%. So what were the, because I know that there are people who are listening who are ready to make that shift. What advice do you have for them? And maybe how did you help Monique and Lee work through that to figure that out?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing that I can say is that they had amazing trust with their community that they had built up, and that helped a ton. But you don't necessarily have to have been in business for 5-6 years to sort of gain that trust. I think that one thing that was really important was not assuming what the community wanted. I think we shifted gears so many times as to what we were going to actually offer and create. And it was really designed by the community itself. And you don't have to have hundreds of responses. You know, you just need to have a good sense of what the people who look up to you and read your content and visit your site and engage with you in whatever capacity are looking for, and serve them in that way instead of just creating something that you want to create or that you think they need, but they haven't actually told you that they need.
Yes, yes, definitely. That communication is so key and can be the difference in a lot of money, a huge product flop, or success.
Absolutely.
So now I would love to just ask you, I think this is just kind of a fun question. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen RDs and bloggers make online? And obviously this isn't like calling anyone out. It's just like a fun question and maybe we can help some people prevent some big mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing, and this is actually more specific to RDs or maybe anyone who has some sort of a credential or degree, it could be a personal trainer, you know, or any kind of a health coach. But I think so often it's coming at a almost too authoritative position and not connecting with the ups and downs, the struggles and the triumphs of your community. And that's something that I really, when I was doing more health coaching, that I really tried to make a key part of my message online, was just showing that I was a real person. I wasn't sitting there talking about vitamin C and, you know, all the nutrients that truthfully not everybody cares about. They just want to know, like, what the heck do I have for dinner tonight? You know, I'm exhausted from commuting 2 hours. And so I think that one thing is that not being willing to meet your community where they are, you know, and be more of a peer than appearing as like expert status. I think that's a huge shift.
Yes. Yes, that is. And it can seem like, so I kind of call it like the official language when it's so almost like scientific and you're not using the language of your readers. So I love that tip. And I think once you make that shift and you start talking to them like peers, like you said, I think that your community will become naturally so much more engaged.
Yes. And it's even something that, you know, I'm working on myself, you know, for example, like I have a blog, it's more of a side, you know, component of my business. But even, you know, one of the pieces of advice I was giving one of my clients was, is your blog speaking to the type of, you know, work that you do and the type of business and client that you're trying to attract, you know? And the answer was no. And I could immediately see it, but yet I haven't really made that transition with my own blog. You know, I've really transitioned out of, you know, nutrition, but yet whenever I write a blog post, it's safe and it feels comfortable, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that part of being willing to evolve and pivot, you know, in your career over time is understanding what pieces of your own brand or business that you're doing because it feels safe or secure or it's worked for a while, but it might not work with where you're trying to go.
Right, right. And that's really funny that you said that because I just am making to-do lists of the same thing for my own website. So I can definitely relate to that.
I love it.
So now, just shifting gears a little bit, you and your husband made this really big leap a few months ago. I would love just if you could talk about what made you go live somewhere else outside the United States and a little bit about your thinking behind it and leaving that corporate job mindset.
Yeah, so it's interesting, as I kind of alluded to earlier, that throughout the whole last couple of years, I really, even when I had sort of been listening to entrepreneurial podcasts and things like that, I was really turned off by the whole marketing idea of like, ditch your corporate job, you know, leave your 9-to-5, say goodbye to your cubicle and like live the laptop lifestyle. I was like, ugh, like that is so not me, which is just, it's very funny that it ended up being something that I did because I was receptive to it. And part of that, it, you know, being, I guess, so many bloggers and business owners, I think, are waiting for a certain income level or a certain milestone to say that they're successful or to say that they've made it or to make a big change. And truthfully, you know, you don't have to be hitting that, I'm making 6 figures for my blog, to leave a job. You know, you need to figure out what it is that you do need to make you comfortable and, you know, not miserable and not stressed and putting that sort of pressure on your side job or your, you know, blog that you're going full time with. But I think part of that is recognizing what's truly enough, you know, for you and for your family and for your happiness, you know, what trade-offs are worth it. And so, you know, when I made the shift, leaving my corporate job, you know, obviously I still had a ton of student loans, but from my MBA, but at the same time, I knew what was worth it for my health and for my happiness and what I wanted to do at that point. And so my sister, actually, I have a twin sister. She lives in the Dominican Republic. She's been there about 5 years now and is going to be moving back to the U.S. in May. And so I had just been talking to her and thought, now that I kind of have this flexibility where I can work from wherever, like, why don't I actually take advantage of it, you know? And how crazy would it be if I could come out there and stay with you for a week, you know, instead of my 10 days of vacation that I had previously? And it was really not serious when we first started talking about it. And then I started realizing that we could really do it and we could really make it work. And so my husband and I moved to Cabarete, Dominican Republic, got our own place there for all of November and all of December. And it was an amazing experience. It was hard. It was fun. It was crazy, you know, all at the same time. On paper, I'm sure people would be like, you probably shouldn't have done that, but it was worth it. And I just, you know, one piece of advice I would love to give is to not be afraid to do things that you'll never get to do again, you know, potentially, or not to always be waiting for someone else to validate your success to make a move.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. I love that so much. And I especially love that piece of figuring out what's enough, because a lot of times we forget how we do have some extras in our life, or we maybe could live with half our salary we're making in our corporate job if you cut back a few other things that you maybe don't need, and your happiness will go through the roof and you'll figure the rest out if you're dedicated to it. So I really, really love that piece of advice.
Exactly. And maybe it's having something part-time, you know, while you're building your business. So you have more time to work on your, you know, your blog or your business, but you're not relying on it 100% for your income. You know, yeah. Be creative.
Yes. And going back to the piece that you said, you do have to be patient too, because a lot of times it's so easy to see and read about success stories of people making 5, 6, 7 figures in their business overnight. And the reality is it takes a long time to build a brand, to build a business, and you really, really have to be steadfast and patient.
Yes, 100%. And when you are, like, again, putting that kind of pressure on your business, it stops feeling fun, you know?
Yes. Yes, it definitely does. And the last question I want to ask you. So now you've moved back from the Dominican Republic, you're starting to get into a routine. How do you figure out the balance between working for yourself, working with the Healthy Glow Collective, and just all the other things that you need to do for you, your husband, and for yourself to stay sane?
Great question. I would say that was actually the hardest thing for me at the beginning, because I'm such a regimented routine person. So I actually found that I was getting more done when I had to be, you know, out the door by 7 a.m. to commute to my job and then come home. I kind of had that rhythm of, these are the times when I can check into my business and my clients, and these are the times when I know I can't because I'm at work. And when you are working from home, things blend together so much more, which is freeing and nice in some ways, but it also requires you to understand how you best work and make that work for you. Because, you know, there's been days where I'm like, okay, you know, I'll go take a midday yoga class or something, but that often means I'm back online at night, you know, and sometimes it's worth it. But if you're not a person who enjoys, you know, working at night, like for me, when I first started doing this, I didn't like getting back online at night because that was the only time I had with my husband. So it was still making the most of those daylight hours and really being efficient with my time. Like when you're in the zone, you're in the zone. Don't have a million tabs open. Don't, you know, be switching from project to project. You know, if you're balancing more than one, you know, brand or business or activity, like set aside dedicated time blocks where you're working on one and you're not switching in between the other, because it takes so much time for your brain to, like, you know, get back between the two contexts. And then for me, you know, also is making a commitment to exercise and my health. You know, just a little plug, the Healthy Glow Guide is great for that. But, you know, making sure that I am setting aside time for myself each and every single day so that I can be more productive. You know, the myth of working all day and all night will get you ahead faster is just not true. It will just burn you out faster.
Yes. And then no one will be happy.
No.
And last, before we finish up, just tell us again. I know Lee and Monique did this a few weeks ago when they were on the podcast, but who is the Healthy Glow Guide perfect for?
So the Healthy Glow Guide is really perfect for anyone who's looking for something flexible. I think we've all, you know, but still wants a plan, still wants some structure, because I think we've all taken on, you know, at the new year, we start a new month or a new week, and we think, like, I'm going to commit to this. And then you realize that it just doesn't fit with your schedule. You can't, you know, prep the meals in the way that they ask you to. You can't commit to working out 7 days a week. And if you do miss a day, you feel behind, or like you have to do doubles or something like that. And that is just the anti what we want to promote with the Healthy Glow Guide. It's, we want to show women that this is a starting place. You can follow it 100% if you want, but we purposely made it so that there's only 3 workouts a week, so you can fit it in to your existing routine or don't feel burdened, you know, by this huge shift in your lifestyle to start incorporating health and fitness. So I really feel like it's great for anyone, no matter what your schedule is like, if you're working in traditional, you know, commuting job, or if you're at home, it's really great for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today.
Sure.
Can you just tell the listeners where they can find you? And I'll be sure to include the Healthy Glow Guide links, but you can also tell them where they can find that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me at elevatewithkatie.com or on social media at elevatewithkatie. And then the Healthy Glow Collective you can find at healthyglow.co. And in our shop is the place to get the Healthy Glow Guide.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today, Katie. I had so much fun with you.
Thank you. It was really my pleasure.
You can find all information about Katie in our show notes at NicoleCulverBlog.com/podcast.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.